Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
One day, years ago, I got an email, and the email asked me if I would speak at CIY that summer. CIY stands for Christ in Youth. It's a huge summer camp conference for teenagers, like thousands of teenagers all gathered to meet God, learn about Jesus, grow in their faith. As a pastor, speaker, it's a big honor. You get to talk to like 3,000 or more students at one time. So I emailed back, yes, I would love to speak at Christ in Youth this summer. For the last few years, I've been speaking at BIY, Buddha in Youth, and the robes are great, but it does not go with my personal theology. My wife said, don't send that, they'll take back your invitation. And I was like, nah, and they didn't. And that summer, I flew to Tennessee, and I was picked up at the airport and driven to the college campus where the conference was. I would be staying at a dorm room in the conference and so in the campus. And so the guy walks me to the dorm room, the building, opens the door of the building, and right there, I walk in. There's a bunch of teenagers standing and talking, like 6, 7 of them. But the first one I saw, it was this teenager, and he had no arms and no legs. And he was standing, he was just kind of balancing there. And just honestly, it startled me. I just wasn't expecting to see that. And so I smiled at all of them, and I tried not to show any surprise on my face. And I walked to my room, and I just couldn't stop thinking about that kid. Like, who brought him, and how had he ever become friends with these other kids he was with, and were they nice to him? And so I went to my room, I got ready, and then that night I got to speak to all these teenagers. And at the end, they expect kids are going to respond because they've been, like, with Jesus. And so they do an invitation and an altar call, which is when they say, hey, if anyone wants to become a Christian today, come forward. And because the idea of the camp is, if you get people to Jesus, if you can get them kind of in front of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, meeting Jesus, learning about Jesus, experiencing the love of Jesus, they will respond to that. It's going to impact people. They'll feel it, and they'll be changed by it. And that's exactly what I want to talk to you about today. Getting people to Jesus, in front of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, so they can meet Jesus, learn about Jesus, experience the love of Jesus. Because it's true. Like, if you can get people to that right place, man, they're going to be impacted. They will feel it. They'll respond to it. Their lives will be changed. This is the last week of the series we've been doing called Just Ask. Next weekend is Christmas, and I can't wait. We have an incredible experience we've been planning for months. We're going to be talking in here about how our lives are messy. Anyone have a messy life? You can raise your hand or you can lie. Your choice. There's the two options, right? Our lives are messy, but we tend to think that God, kind of our messiness pushes God away. But the truth is, Jesus came because we are messy. God is drawn to our mess and can lead us out of our mess. We are also going to have a petting zoo out front, like kind of a manger scene, free pictures with Santa Claus, cookies and hot chocolate. It's going to be awesome. You need to be here and invite your friends and neighbors and coworkers and family members to be here. And that's what we've been talking about in this series. We've been learning that the mission Jesus gave us is to share God's love. Jesus said the number one priority in the life of every Christian is to help people know that God is inviting them into relationship with him. So many people don't realize that God is inviting them. And so for people to realize God is inviting them, we need to invite them. And that's what happened when Margaret invited Val to Verve. And that's what happened when Val started inviting people to Verve. Here's their story.
Church, we were looking for a community, and we happened upon Verve. We believed heavily in that mission, and we were newlyweds, and we jumped in head first. Coincidentally, at the same time, I started my first real job as an adult out of college. I started working for the state, and I found out that one of the guys that I started with, he was also a Christian. He also believed in God, And so during work one day, I just struck up a conversation with him, and I was telling him a little bit about this church that I had just started going to, how exciting it is, and it's different than the normal church. And while we were having this conversation, one of our coworkers that sat in the cubicle next to me overheard us, and she peeked her head over the cubicle and started just to ask me some questions about this church. And it wasn't something that I expected or was intentionally doing, but I started to engage with her and tell her a little bit about this church and what an impact it had on me. And I eventually invited her to come with me because it seemed like it was something that she was looking for. It seemed like there was something in her life that might be missing that she was searching for an answer for. She came periodically off and on, and I kept inviting her and kept inviting her and just asking her how she was doing. And I just kind of focused on the relationship with her more so than I got to get her to Verve, I got to get her to Verve. I focused more on I want her to feel loved. I want her to know that I care for her as a person. Between inviting her to church and her coming periodically and me building a relationship with her, I eventually invited her into a small group. That's kind of when she started to come to Verve more regularly. It really opened up the relationship a lot more. She learned that the relationships that she could build, the relationships that we built outside of work and at Verve were real. And that was one of the things that she was having a hard time with her old life, was she felt that the relationships she had at the time were not real. They were kind of fake, kind of, what can I get from you? She started coming to Verve more regularly, and then after a while she started to serve. And she served in one area of Verve, but then she wanted more. So she served in another area in Verve, and then she wanted more. And so eventually she started to serve in a lot of different areas, and she started to build lots of different relationships. After a while, I found her starting to invite other people. She invited her mom, and her mom came once in a while. You know, it wasn't every week right off the bat, but eventually her mom started to get plugged in. My coworker started to bring her daughter, and her daughter started to get connected to children's ministry and build her own relationships and her own friendships. The years passed, and I noticed more people started coming to Verve as a result of my coworker. It's been really cool to see just the ripple effect of relationships, right? Relationships and inviting. But never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that from that relationship, a whole host of other people had the opportunity to come to Verve, experience who God is, build a relationship with Him, and build community with other people that they could do life with. So it's just mind-boggling, and it's really exciting. It's really exciting to see that one invite can turn into something so much more.
One invite can turn into something so much more. I love that, because that's what God is asking us to do, so to invite people so they'll know they're invited. And it's not just for them. When we engage in the mission God has given us, our faith grows. When we share Jesus with people who don't know Him, we will experience and know Him in a deeper and more fulfilling way than we ever have. But we're going to have to be intentional about this. The reality is, a lot of us don't have the habit of inviting people to church. And when you don't have a habit, the easiest thing is to not do whatever it is, to just let life get in the way. And so we need to keep thinking about this and keep talking about it. All right. So let's do a little review before we jump back in. The first week of this series, we talked about having the right heart. That when you have a heart for God, when you love God, you realize that we are all His children, that God loves His children, and if any of them are far from Him, He wants them back. And so you want them back for Him. And when you love people, when you have a heart for people, you realize that we all need God, that we were made for life with Him. And so if you know people who are far from God, man, more than anything, you want them to know Him and experience His love and have life with Him. Last week, we talked about having the right strategy, that our faith will always lead to action, and the action we need to take is to invite people, to come and meet this God of love who is inviting them. But we have to do it in the right way. We talked about leading with love. We saw Margaret did that, that people need to know the reason we're asking is because we care about you, right? And we need to be persistent because one invite typically doesn't do it. Studies show that usually it's 5, 6, or 7 invites before someone shows up. So right heart, right strategy today, right place. And the right place is right in front of Jesus. Because when people get in front of Jesus, something dramatic happens. When I was 20 years old, I had never been to church in my life, did not know anything about Jesus. I started reading the Bible, not because I was interested in it, but because I thought I could disprove it. But something happens when you read the Bible. It puts you in front of Jesus. And something dramatic happened in me. I was drawn to him. I came to faith in him. I fell in love with him. Something dramatic happens when people get close to Jesus. We see that when Jesus was living here on earth 2,000 years ago, living a human life, and people got in front of him. We have all kinds of eyewitness accounts of amazing stories. Like there's the time where there was a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. The veil had just been removed from the private hell she had been living in. The whole town was there. She was exposed. She would live the rest of her life in shame. Except she was dragged in front of Jesus, and something dramatic happens, and she walks away forgiven, restored, and with dignity. There's the crazy man who lived in a graveyard, chained up in a graveyard. Everyone in town was horrified at him. He seemed insane, violent, and he was going to live the rest of his days tormented in that graveyard, except Jesus shows up. And this violent man runs in a rage at Jesus, not realizing that he was running in front of Jesus, where something dramatic always happens. And his entire life was changed. There's the blind guy who was sitting begging on the side of the road just like he did every day. This day was different. There was a crowd around, and they were around because Jesus was coming down that street. He realizes this is my one chance to get myself in the presence of Jesus. So he starts shouting out from his position sitting there, "Son of David, please don't pass me by." And the reason he said Son of David is because way back, God had promised to send a Savior for all the people. And people called that Savior the Son of David. He was blind, but somehow he knew, he saw that this Jesus was the Savior. Son of David, please don't pass me by. Everyone in the crowd says, shut up, be quiet. But he will not stop shouting out, Son of David, please don't pass me by. And Jesus calls for him, and people usher him in front of Jesus, and he is healed. And there's the prostitute who hated herself for what she did, but she could not figure out any other life for herself, except one day she gets in this place where Jesus is teaching. And she hears Jesus saying that God is inviting everyone. And that just seems too good to be true, but she chooses to believe it, put her faith in it. She says yes, and everything changes. If you get people in front of Jesus, like in the presence of Jesus, meeting Jesus, learning about Jesus, experiencing the love of Jesus, it is going to impact them. People will feel that. They'll be changed by it. And that's why we want to invite people here, because they get in front of Jesus here and dramatic things can happen. And that's what we see happen in the story that we've been studying the last couple weeks. It's about these 4 faith-filled guys who have a friend who is paralyzed. His legs don't work. Back then, there was no such thing as a wheelchair. He had to be carried on a mat anywhere he wanted to go. There is no hope for him at all until this one day when hope came to his town. Jesus showed up. And these 4 friends know they have to get their buddy in front of Jesus. And so they go to pick him up at his place. And When they picked him up, they really picked him up. I'm sorry, I could not avoid that joke. And that, so they pick him up and they bring him where Jesus is. And I like that it was like a team effort. They did it together. They each had to do their part. They knew they couldn't get him to Jesus on their own. No one could carry him alone. And so they did it together. And that can be true for us as well. If you're struggling getting someone in front of Jesus, one option is to get other people to help you. So you might invite that one friend over for dinner and a couple of your friends from church, and your friend after dinner might be like, so those were church people, because they were pretty cool. Unless you invite me, then he would say, they were really cool. We know it's true. And he might, maybe I should, tell me more about this church you've been, right? Or you might start a fantasy football league or a group play date with some of your Verve friends and some of your friends who don't go to church. So the four friends carry their friend to where Jesus is, but they can't get him in front of Jesus because Jesus is teaching in this house. The house is absolutely packed. There's people surrounding the house. They don't know what to do. And we'll look one last time at this story. It's in Mark chapter 2. We put all the Bible verses on the screen, and we give out free Bibles at the Velcro Bar. If you'd like to take one home with you today, we'd love to give you one. Starting verse 4. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. We said last week, these guys were willing to do whatever it took. Sometimes some of us are like, I invited my friend, I didn't show up. Like, we give up so easy. Not these guys. They cared way too much about their friend to give up. The story continues, verse 5. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, who's now like dangling there, right? Son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some teachers of the law, the religious leaders, they were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man, it's the way Jesus referred to himself a lot, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And the paralyzed man got in front of Jesus, and it changes everything for him. And it's because his friends invited him. They got him to the right place. It's because these four friends focused on the presence of Jesus. They invited their buddy and did everything they could to get him in front of Jesus. And when they did, it changed everything for him. Spiritually, he was forgiven of his sins. Physically, he experienced healing in his body. See, in the presence of Jesus, there is power. In the presence of Jesus, there is hope. In the presence of Jesus, there is healing. In the presence of Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. All things are possible. Nothing shall be impossible. And it's the presence of Jesus that will make all the difference in our family members and classmates and coworkers and neighbors. It reminds me of what's been happening with Kanye West. Have you guys been following this? So in the last months, Kanye West has put his faith in Jesus, given his life and his music to God. He started something called the Sunday Service. It's basically a church service. He put out a worship album called Jesus is King, and he now has pastors present the gospel at all of his concerts. There are reports of thousands of people coming to faith at Kanye events. How did that happen? I mean, after all, this is the guy who not long ago was singing actual lyrics, I am a God get me my beeping croissants, I am a God. And singing, they'd be asking us questions, harass and arrest us, saying, we eat pieces of poop like you for breakfast. Huh? Y'all eat pieces of poop? What's the basis? Those are about the cleanest Kanye lyrics I could find. Like, I did a search. I'm like, I need something kind of clean. We're in church. In 2016, he had a nervous breakdown, had to be hospitalized. His now life has been transformed. How? Have you read the story? Do you know how it happened? An invitation. Someone invited Kanye to Little Placerita Bible Church. That's it. In California. They invite him. Kanye showed up. What are the chances? Apparently pretty good if you just ask. Kanye probably didn't even realize that he was just waiting for an invitation. When he got one, he said yes, and his life and the lives of thousands of people have been changed. Remember what Margaret said in the video, one invite can turn into so much more. All of this is happening because of one invite. I love that someone got Kanye to church. And the reason that's so important is because the presence of Jesus is here when we meet and gather together. And that's why inviting someone to church is so strategic. Who knows what would happen if you just invite someone? Who knows what they'd say? Who knows what it could lead to? Because when we get a person to church, we're getting them to the right place. We're getting them in front of Jesus. And that's why our dream for Verve is to create a place where people truly experience the presence of Jesus. That's why week after week we teach and we talk about Jesus. That's why every week we have communion. That's why we want the songs to not just be a rock concert that you observe and think that those songs were good, but to actually be worship music that we all engage in, because we want people to experience the presence of Jesus here. And that's why we're doing our Vision 2020 No Barriers Initiative. We want to make Verve a place where as many people as possible can come and will have as positive an experience as possible. And so we announced a couple weeks ago that we are doing some building renovations, and we are really excited. We are going to increase the seating capacity in this room from about 145 to about 210. We're going to build a new kids classroom, which will increase our kids space by about 20%. We're also going to give our building a facelift. It's going to look better, be way more functional. We're moving the nursery and toddlers to the back of the building where they should have been all along. We're moving the next step room to the front of the building, which is where we've wanted it. It's awesome. To do this, we need to raise about $90,000. Cool news, update. So far, we have raised, drumroll, $65,000. Thank you guys so much who have given. Which, if my math is correct, it's not my strong suit, means that we have $25,000 left. Here's something new. On Thursday, I was talking to a guy across the country. He loves our church. He supported us. He asked me, what's the update? I said, we have $65,000 in, $25,000 to go. He said, well, let's make sure we get to that goal. How about I will match the next $12,500 that come in to make sure we get that $25,000. And so if you have not yet given, now is your best time, because literally whatever you give will automatically be doubled. And we want everyone who considers Verve to give. And we're asking you, if you give, to give over and above what you normally do, because we need what you normally do, give to pay our bills and do ministry. And man, so many people are doing such cool things. There's so many stories. So here's one. There's a guy who went to his job and said, could I please get an extra day of work? This was a couple weeks ago, till the end of the year, because he didn't have anything extra to give. But he said, if I get an extra day at work, I can give that extra day's pay every week towards Vision 2020. How cool is that? And so we're asking everybody who considers Verve home, if you're like, I'm new, I don't know about it, not for you. Thanks for being here. We hope you feel welcomed and loved here. You are welcome to love, but this isn't for you. We've provided these envelopes on your way out. They'll be available, and on the outside are different amounts you might consider giving. And we ask you, just take this home and use this to pray, and just pray, God, What do you want to do through me for Vision 2020? God, what do you want to do through me for Vision 2020? And then just listen. What we need to hit our goal is we need some big gifts. Like we need some people to give $1,000 or $5,000. And we need lots of gifts. We are praying, this is my biggest goal, for 100% participation. Like how cool would it be if we knew, like the fam, we all did this together. Not some of us, all of us. Not some of us thinking, maybe not really thinking, but acting like, hey, I will benefit from this, but you guys pay for it. You guys all pay. It will help me, help my friends. But no, like that's not the right spirit, right? Like we all want to do this. We want everyone to be a part. And you might not be able to give $5,000, but you can give $5. That's one of the options, $5. You can give $25. If you decide to give, please give by the end of the day, December 31st. That's when we're kind of making our goal. And by doing that, your gift will be tax deductible on your income. Screw the IRS. So let's do this. Sorry, don't quote me on that. Don't tweet that one. Together, we want to make Verve a place where as many people as possible can come and have as positive an experience as possible. And then each of us needs to get our people here, our friends here. We have the same role as the four friends in that story, to notice the people God puts in our lives. The family members, the friends, the co-workers, the classmates, the people in our neighborhood, to notice them. Listen, to not be so obsessed with ourselves and our agendas that we don't even notice that God put people in your life. Like the people who live next door to you, it's not random. God put those people in your life. The waitress at the restaurant isn't there just to serve you. She is God's child, and you don't know she's far from him. And God, for that half hour, put her in your life. And so our role is to notice those people and get those people to Jesus. And can you imagine if we did that? Like the people who would be freed from addictions and the marriages who would be saved, lonely people finding community here, kids growing up knowing that God loves them, people without hope finding it here, lives changed, eternities changed. And so I want to ask you to commit to this mission that God gave you. If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, when you said yes, you said, I'm signing up for the mission, and it's to invite people so God can know God, that so they can know God is inviting them. So I want to encourage you to choose three people to invite for Christmas. You can invite 10, you can invite 300, but what if we all said we're all going to invite at least three? Who are your three? Who are the three people God has put in your life, put on your heart? You're going to invite them. We, on your way out, you're going to receive about three cards. These are not for you. These are for you to put in the hands of your three this week and invite them to be here. Also, don't know if you noticed, but on your seat today was a Verve logo sticker for your car. And just that's for you to go and slap on your car today. Kind of a cool way to rep your church, to create some buzz. And it may someday lead to a conversation. Hey, what's the V? And you can invite somebody to come. And so it's a little way you can do your mission. We need to invite people because inviting people can change a life. You remember CIY? These teenagers spent the week in proximity with Jesus, right? And I got a chance to stand in front of all these kids and share a message about Jesus and his love for us. And then I was told to give the invitation, the altar call. We don't do it this way at Verve, but it's when you say, come forward if you want to give your life to Jesus. So I invited kids to come forward, but there was nothing for me to do. I was told by the organizers of CIY, stay on the stage. The band's going to come up. They're going to play a song. You stay there on the stage because you're the one who invited them. I'm like, okay. And so all of the youth pastors go up to the front of the stage. So if you come forward, you come forward to your youth pastor. You tell him, I'm making a decision. And so the band starts playing. I'm standing with the band, kind of in the midst of the band. And dozens of kids start coming forward. And Some of them are crying. It was really cool. And I'm just standing there. But I'm standing there watching these kids. It's like, this is so cool. And then no more kids were coming forward. They were done. But the band kept playing and playing and playing. And I'm standing there in the midst. I'm like, somebody give me a guitar. I'll pretend. You know, like, what do I do? I'm just standing here. No one else has come forward for several minutes. And so I closed my eyes and I prayed. I did not pray because I'm so spiritual. I prayed because I didn't know what else to do. And so I prayed. This might be right about the exact words I prayed. I said, God, I don't know what to do. Maybe, God, there's one more kid who needs to come forward. I know no one's come forward for a while now, but we're here. God, maybe there's one more kid who needs to do this today. And I opened my eyes, and there was one more kid coming down the aisle. It was the kid with no arms and no legs. And he was being pushed down the aisle in his wheelchair by his friends. And I just thought, wow. Like, I don't know, but it seems like this kid has probably had a hard life. And I don't know anything about him, but I do know that now he's going to have Jesus in his life. And the reason is because someone got him in front of Jesus, because he was invited to this conference where he could get close to Jesus. And he's got these friends who are pushing his wheelchair so he can come down and make his decision. Thank you, God, for his friends, for their invitation to him so that he could know that you're inviting him. Man, we need to be friends like that. We need to invite our friends. Who are your three? Who are your three? And as we end this message and this whole series, I think that I would be remiss. I think I have never before used the word remiss. I think I would be remiss if I didn't invite you to get in front of Jesus, because he's inviting you. I don't know, maybe you have never made Jesus the forgiver and leader of your life, but you could do that today. You just ask. And if you do make that decision, would you let us know? Because we're not going to ask you to come forward, but we would love to walk with you through that decision. Or maybe you really need Jesus' help with some situation that you're facing and you don't know what to do and it's not good. Just ask. So we're going to give you a few minutes right now to get in front of Jesus, to get closer to Jesus. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus like the teenager did at CIY. Or maybe you need to give your situation to Jesus, kind of like the blind man on the side of the road did. Like, you could call out to Jesus, Son of David, please don't pass me by. And we all need to get our friends to Jesus. So let's ask God to help us with that, like he did for those friends of the paralyzed man. So we're going to give you a couple minutes to do that. The band's going to come up, play one more song. During this song, there's also communion available. It's on the candlelit tables around the room. It's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given for us on the cross. And it's a way that we remember the sacrifice Jesus made for us. He died so that we might have life with God. What is it that you need from God right now? Just ask. Let's pray together, and then we'll give you some time to pray. God, what an amazing God of grace you are, that despite what we've done, despite where we've been, despite our sin, even for a woman caught in the act of adultery, what you offer is an invitation into relationship with you, based on our sins being forgiven through Jesus' death on the cross, and life with you. Thank you, God. And maybe there's some people in this room who need to say yes to that today. God, we all have people you have put in our life very intentionally, It may be a neighbor. It may be someone we see at Starbucks every time we get coffee. It may be a parent we sit next to at the games. It might be someone who has the locker next to us in school. It might be the waitress at the restaurant we tend to go to too often. It might be a family member who lives here in town. God, would you put those people on our heart? And would you help us, God, to have the courage, if we need it, the words to say, to just ask. Let's get at least three of our people here for Christmas. God, help us to help people get closer to you, and help us to get closer to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.